Happy Sabbath. I'm going to read Job chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground and worshiped and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Church family,
I have two confessions to make. This is my first time to preach. I've never preached before, and most of you know that. I'm sure you'll be blessed, and I'll be blessed too, and the Holy Spirit will do his work. English is not my first language either. It is my third language. And you might hear some different pronunciation of some words, but the Holy Spirit will sort that out too. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for courage this moment. I pray that you just use me as your vessel to pass your message. Reduce me to nothing, so that you may be seen and be heard. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Worship in the whirlwind. Or in other words, worship during our life storms, difficult times, painful times. How do we worship? Life doesn't always go as planned. We face storms. Life storms come uninvited. Some are very sudden. Some are prolonged, and they shake our foundations. Job's story reminds us that even during an unimaginable loss, worship is still possible. His response to his storms wasn't denial or bitterness. It was surrender and reverence. I searched for some life storms that we could all relate to in life, and there were a lot of them. Grief and loss, losing a loved one, whether through death, separation, depression or anxiety, struggling with mental health challenges that cloud daily life, identity crisis, feeling lost or unsure about one's purpose, values or direction, divorce or breakup. It's painful during the end of a significant relationship. It can feel like a personal earthquake. Family conflict, ongoing tensions or estrangement from family members. Friendship betrayal, trust, losing trust in someone close can be deeply painful. Chronic illness or injury, dealing with long-term health issues or sudden medical emergencies can be detrimental as well. Addictions or recovery, battling substance misuse, or even supporting people who are healing from this process, it can be overwhelming. Caregiving stress, people who are looking after their loved ones and they are at risk of carers' breakdown. Where I work, we assess some people who care after their loved one, and they say they don't need anything, they don't need any support, because they made a vow that till death do them part, they'll look after each other. And yet they are still at risk of carers' breakdown. How do you worship God at such a time? How do we stop focusing on our storms and look upon God and worship? Job's story is one of the most profound examples of our worship through suffering in the Bible. I forgot to mention financial stressors. Yeah, also can be stressful. Job's story begins with an unimaginable tragedy. After Job lost his wealth, his children, and his health, his initial response was deeply moving. His first response was worship. What does it mean? How do we worship? in storms. While I was exploring Job's story, I found some important or vital aspects of worship that could help me and you to worship during our storms. Worship begins with surrender, and we see Job doing this. Honest lament, he did. Job didn't hide his pain. He grieved deeply and questioned God, but he never condemned him. Job acknowledged his storm. Worship doesn't ignore pain or pretend everything is fine. It's honest about the struggle while choosing to trust. Job chapter 1 and verse 20. Job tore his robe and shaved his head. This was a symbol of mourning. He was hurting. He didn't hide his grief. He brought it before God. God welcomes our honest emotions. Worship starts with surrender, not strength. Remember Paul. Paul had a storm. I call it a storm because it was a thorn in his flesh. And he had asked God to remove it. But God said something else. He said in Corinthians 2, 12 verse 19. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So let us not be afraid to approach God as weak as we are or broken. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Worship also declares God's worth, not our comfort. We see Job choosing faith over fear. In the middle of fear, worship is a declaration that God is still good, still sovereign, and still present. Job chapter 1 and verse 20. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. Job acknowledged God is sovereign, even in loss. He acknowledged his sovereignty. Job shows his reverent trust in God. Worship is not based on circumstances, it's based on who God is. Like a lighthouse in a storm, worship keeps us fixed on the unchanging God. Another aspect of Job's worship. Worship anchors us in the storm. And how? By recentering our hearts and minds on God's unchanging character, even when everything around us feels chaotic or uncertain. And this is how, some few points on how that worship can anchor us in the storm. Worship shifts our focus. Instead of being consumed by fear, pain, or confusion, worship helps us to fix our eyes on God. His love, power, and promises. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 is encouraging. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Let's focus our storms. Let's focus on God other than our storms. Worship builds spiritual strength. In worship, we declare truth over our lives. This strengthens our faith and reminds us that we are not alone in the storm. We are never alone in the storm. And Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Worship invites God's presence. God inhibits the praises of his people. Psalms 23 and verse 3. In his presence, we find peace, clarity, and comfort. James 4:8 encourages too that draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Let's draw near to him, even that difficult time. Worship reaffirms hope. Even when we don't see the outcome, worship reminds us of God's faithfulness and gives us hope beyond the storm. The book of Habakkuk 3:18 encourages as well, "Yes, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." In worship, we shift our focus from the storm to the Savior. Worship prepares us for restoration, or what God has in store for us according to his will. Job's story ends with restoration. Job 42:10-17, you can read later. God restored Job's losses twice as much as had before. But remember, his worship did not change his situation immediately, but it kept his heart aligned with God. It was not deliverance that caused his worship. It was the certainty of who God was to him. May you be encouraged today that your storm is not the end of your story. Whether you are in a storm coming out of one or heading into one, choose to worship. Another important verse, Job 13 and verse 15. He said, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Job showed enduring faith here. Worship is our weapon, our anchor, and our offering. I was thinking, do I include this part or do I leave it? But I feel I can't leave it, because Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, they worshipped and praised. And you know what happened after that? And I just can't help to just include it in this. I'm going to read Acts 16:25-26 very quickly. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Midnight in the scripture often symbolizes a time of deepest darkness, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Paul and Silas, beaten and imprisoned for casting out a spirit from a slave girl, found themselves in the innermost cell of the Roman jail. Yet at midnight, instead of condemning their fate or sinking into despair, they prayed and sang praises to God. Their song became a testimony not only to their faith, but to the power of joy amidst suffering. Job, Paul, and Silas' act of worship in adversity was not an emotional reaction, but a deeply rooted spiritual discipline. Their focus was not on their storm, but on the presence of God. Paul and Silas songs became a light in the darkness, heard by prisoners, noticed by heaven, and followed by an earthquake that would open prison doors and hearts. Just like Job's situation, it was not deliverance that caused their singing. It was the certainty of God's presence. In this circumstance, God did not wait for the daylight to shake the foundations. He moved at midnight. Your midnight song might be the catalyst of someone else's freedom. Worship is a choice. Just like Job was saddened by his loss, Paul and Silas didn't feel good either. Beaten unjustly, chained in a dark prison, bleeding and in pain, but they chose to praise anyway. Worship is not about how we feel. It's about who God is, unchanging, faithful, and present. I have a video. It says, "Speak to the storm." As the video plays, let's reflect on our storms and worship God. And then I'll pray together with you. I hope it will play okay.
Uninvited, yet it still arrives. Unapologetic, in the wake of all it will disturb. Its presence seeks an audience. Its power strives to be seen, and its noise demands to be heard. "Look at me," it shouts. "Be afraid of what damage I may do. Watch as my wind howls, breaking anything that seeks to stand in its way. This storm intrudes, invades, interrupts. It is void of care. It has no intention of cleaning up any of its devastation. The storm we see in the natural is only rivaled by the storm that is sent in the spiritual. This storm also roars, but its prey is far more sinister. This storm, the storm of life, feeds off our fears and seeks to destroy our destinies. These storms are assignments of darkness to bring adversity and cause upheaval, to disorient and confuse, to kill, steal, and destroy. The storms of challenge and conflict, the violent winds of pain and hardship, storms that threaten relationships and play on insecurities. No one is immune from the storms of life, from the bad news, the testing times, loss and abuse, from the betrayal, disappointment, anxiety, or torment. We all have storms. But when did we forget that we all have a voice? You have the words to silence the winds. You have the confession to calm the confusion. You have the light to illuminate the dark. Your storm may be on the horizon, or you may be in its eye. But no matter where this finds you, you must find your voice. Find your song and sing. Find your promise and persist. Find your faith and fight. Find your voice and speak to the storm. There was a time when Jesus and the disciples found their situation suddenly change. Remember the story when they were in a storm. The storm ripped through the calm and it began to rage. Out of nowhere, the simple boat journey became the most testing trial. The wind blew and the waves grew. The storm threw some into panic. They allowed fear to speak and lost sight of the fight. Others, they couldn't see a way out and so began to entertain doubt. Yet, there was one. There was one that was asleep. Asleep in the storm. It did its best to disturb him, but he slept. Woken by those who had let fear take a hold, Jesus spoke. To the storm, he said, "Be still." To the chaos, he spoke calm. To the fearful, he spoke faith. And to the dark, he brought light. Jesus spoke. And the storm surrendered. You have the same power to bring order, and you have the words to advance and take on the warfare. Don't allow your voice to be silenced by the storm. Wake up, worship, declare his goodness, sing of his faithfulness, speak his peace, and wage war with the words of life. The greatest miracles can happen in the storm. The miracles of our awakening to the power that is so often dormant within. Miracles happen when we speak to the storm, when we answer back to its threat with boldness and trust. Miracles are found when the word is spoken out loud, drowning out the lies with the declaration of truth. The miracle is in your mouth. The storm cannot withstand the weapon of worship and the arsenal of prayer. We all have storms, but we all have a voice. So speak to the storm. So sing. Sing until you see the still. Praise. Praise until the promise comes. Believe. Believe until the breakthrough. Declare, Declare until the dawn has come and fight. Fight with faith until all the fear is gone. Find your voice. Choose your song. We all have storms, but we all have a voice. So speak. Speak. Speak to the storm.
Will you worship in your whirlwind? Will you worship in your storm? Whatever prison you are in, fear, grief, uncertainty, lift your voice. Like Job, Paul, and Silas, your worship and praise might just shake the foundation of your storm. I invite you now, as you're seated, and then we can pray all together for our storms and strength to be able to pray and praise and worship during our storms. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for strength to worship during storms. When life feels like a prison and the night is long, when the storms of life range around us, help us to respond like Job, Paul, and Silas with worship, trust, and surrender. Teach us to pray and praise even in pain. Let our midnight song be a testimony of your sustaining grace. Shake the foundations of fear, doubt, and despair in our hearts. May others hear our praise and be drawn to your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.